Hello everyone, and welcome to our quarterly podcast with FTI Consulting Specialists. This is Laura Kaluger, Senior Associate Editor with Commercial Property Executive. In this episode, we'll be talking about the future of the office market. There are so many predictions out there, and many of them are quite divergent. Some experts say remote work may very well be the wave of the future, which might severely reduce companies' need for office space. Other specialists believe the need for office space will increase, as employees will be eager to go back to the office and will demand more private space than before. Who's right? It's difficult to answer. But John Broadwin, Senior Managing Director in FTI Consulting's Real Estate Solutions Industry Practice, can definitely put things into perspective for us. We have two main opinions. Let's first talk about the reasons that are making some specialists believe we're going to see increased demand. It looks like practicing social distancing is something that we're all going to do for a long time. So a boost in demand seems logic, right?
That's a good question, Laura. One that we talk about all the time. And if you ask 10 experts, you may get 12 answers. It definitely seems logical. And I've been speaking with a number of clients over the past few weeks, and certain of their tenants are already asking for more space to spread out. Not all, of course. Some want less space, and we can discuss that separately. But the trend in the past decade or more has been to pack people in a bit tighter, and now we have to open things back up. No more shoulder to shoulder. Employees may be a bit suspicious of open spaces for a while and still want their dedicated space, which will have the effect of increasing the demand. I guess the simplest visual is, you know, we all see on TV the big trading rooms with all the traders in front of their Bloomberg screens, you know, shoulder to shoulder, and other workers directly across for them. That can't be. People are just not going to be able to work in that kind of environment. They're going to have to create more of a checkerboard pattern, and that's going to require more space. But obviously, there are other factors going the other way as well, which we can get into later.
Sure. So if more space will indeed be needed, how do you expect it to look like?
Well, I think people will have a desire to cocoon at the office. They will want partitions, private offices, fewer chairs around the boardroom table, disinfecting stations. Landlords will need to have building protocols for elevator usage and disinfecting, at least until the virus is under control with more testing, once we have a cure and or a vaccine. You know, an open collaborative space for the time being will be out of favor, will need to be reimagined into more private space, I suppose.
But is there enough supply to accommodate all that boost in demand?
Well, I don't want to leave the impression that there will be a big spike in demand, as I do believe, as I said, there will be. But in the case is there are other obvious forces working in the other direction. Therefore, I believe there will, although there could always be a few exceptions in specific markets and specific property types. Most suburban office markets have a fair amount of capacity, and there's always a shadow sublease market in suburban and urban markets from tenants looking to reduce space. Ultimately, I believe there will be a homeostasis in the market, although it will take some time for the new, as I like to say, abnormal to settle in.
And another plausible effect of increased demand would be increased rents. How probable is that, considering many companies suffered great losses during the pandemic?
Well, typically increased demand would result in higher rents. Although, as I said before, I suspect there will be some tenants reducing space as well, and sublease space coming to market competing with landlords that could create a neutralizing effect. Some markets will certainly see increases and other decreases. Properties that are better prepared in terms of office layouts, sanitation protocols, modern ventilation systems, et cetera, will certainly fare better than more antiquated, inefficiently designed properties and will command higher rents. But I also believe select suburban markets will be a short to midterm winner, as some tenants will not want to travel, at least for a while, to urban centers and risk the public transportation and elevators and crowds. So companies needing more space may look to markets where rents are much lower per square foot to help offset the losses incurred. And by the way, even companies that have fared well during this pandemic may consider the same. Some of the increased leasing activity in select suburban markets may not be long-term, as companies are looking to open satellite office to supplement urban offices to accommodate the temporary increased need due to social distancing, rather than as a permanent dislocation from urban offices. In the end, the employees will decide based on where they choose to live and want to work. Employers will adjust and rents over time will adjust accordingly.
I guess we'll see. Now let's look at the other potential effect of the pandemic, decreased office space demand. Will employers take advantage of the fact that their employees' productivity didn't change while working from home?
I mean, it's interesting, and I haven't done any formal or informal straw polls, but just in talking with a lot of folks, it seems like the majority probably believe that office demand will go down. But, you know, this is a great question. And in my mind, it really depends in large part on whether you really believe productivity hasn't changed. And even if it has remained stable, the bigger question, I believe, is it sustainable? Remember, summer's coming. So, you know, I think over the next couple of months, we'll have a better idea as to whether or not, you know, this is going to be the case. So not all for sure, but for many, this has been a very novel experience and one that I don't think people really want to repeat, particularly those that live in urban settings that may be sharing apartments with roommates or married couples with children in a small two-bedroom apartment where the kids are being taught remotely. And summer school's been canceled and both parents are trying to work. And also for those that live alone and crave human interaction. I mean, bottom line, most people need to feel connected. We're human. We need water cooler time. They need to feel a part of a culture, part of a team. And that is very difficult to do remotely. And as an example, many professional service firms that tend to be heavy office users are coming into intern season, and many companies are canceling internships and postponing start dates for new hires, in part in response to a slowdown in business for sure, and in part trying to figure out how to incorporate these people into the work stream. That being said, there are many CEO and CFO I've heard from or read about that believe they can reduce their real estate footprint in a meaningful way without interrupting productivity, culture, etc. Perhaps they are correct. I'm sure there are limited circumstances where this is absolutely true. But have they spoken to the employees? Will employees change their thinking in another month or two or six when this pandemic is over? Have they fully vetted this with HR? I believe ultimately there will be more office sharing where employees work part-time from home and part-time from the office, and some will work remotely more or less on a full-time basis. This has been in existence for a limited way for quite some time now, so I'm not sure how many more employees will opt to do this or will be happy if they're required to. Time will tell. But one point to consider, this is mostly from my own experience rather than any empirical evidence or studies that I'm aware, but I suspect most employees who work remotely today spent a fair amount of time in their employer's workplace, learning the job, interfacing with customers and colleagues, collaborating, developing social skills, and increasing their EQ, and being acculturated into the company's ethos. I don't believe we can do that working remotely. We're only having periodic in-person interactions. And I think that's the biggest point is, while this is, like I said, sort of a novel thing that has happened, I don't believe it's sustainable.
So if all or part of the employees continue to work from home, the employer will need less space, of course. And will this lead to increased interest in co-working spaces, which usually have more flexible lease terms? Is this subsector a potential winner?
Well, yeah, I believe certainly, without naming names, I believe there will definitely be winners and losers in the co-working space. Changes will need to be made, as most folks will not want to be exposed to people they don't know. They will need more private spaces, less open shared spaces, no different than dedicated, you know, company office space. I believe large meeting rooms will be popular in co-working environments, particularly for those companies that are paring back space and moving to more remote workers. And there are going to be some of those for sure. They will have the ability to have periodic group meetings for the remote workers. And the co-working environment gives them the opportunity to do that without having to pay for the space when they don't need it. That is compelling. By the way, this trend has already been happening. So COVID-19 is simply pushing this forward more rapidly.
So if demand decreases, what could happen with vacant office space?
Well, ultimately, supply and demand will reach some equilibrium as we get through this pandemic and things pan out over the next, 1 to 2 years. At that point, if there is a permanent diminution in need of office space, if the remote working concept, turns out to be true, some of that office space can be repurposed to residential use or other creative adaptive reuses, like we are starting to see as an example with many of the malls that are being repurposed. This is still years away. As I said before, we may also see a shift, at least for a while, with tenants moving away from urban settings where employees can and need to avoid public transportation and crowds. And of course, there may be other companies looking to move into urban settings and take advantage of the temporary dislocation. Ultimately, we get back to the new abnormal.
Well, despite all these concerns regarding office demand, some developers still plan to break ground on office projects this year. Do you have any examples? What are your expectations for these projects?
Well, there certainly are many examples. You just need to look for the cranes piercing the clouds in pretty much every major city and many subsections of the geography across the U.S. In certain respects, these developers are in a great position as they have new product that can be tailored to deal with the new realities. Many existing offices will need to be reimagined and retrofitted, whereas these new products coming to market may have an advantage against some of the older stock. The only downside, of course, is the newer developments are going to need to demand higher rents in order to be economically viable. So, again, there's always this push and pull, and somewhere along the line we will get into that right equilibrium.
When do you expect us to be able to see which of these antagonistic forces won?
Excellent question. A lot will depend on this pandemic and when it formally ends. I believe it will take 18 to 24 months to see how things shake out. It will depend in much part on when a vaccine is developed and made available to everyone so we can fully reopen the economy safely. This will happen, but there will always be an eye on whether something like this will happen again. And keep in mind that most office leases extend over long periods of time, so these changes take time.
Let's go back a bit and talk about the immediate impact of the coronavirus crisis on the office sector. What were office space operators' first decisions when the pandemic hit?
Well, after everybody got over the initial disbelief, if you will, because this happened so quickly, that it really caught so many people, by surprise, and it took a while, I think, for it to sink in. So, but I think the first real reaction after the reality set in is how do we keep our tenants and staff safe? I mean, that's the bottom line, and maintain a sanitary environment. I think once the work from home orders came down in much of the U.S., many landlords, used this opportunity where they were allowed to do so to perform maintenance and capital improvements. Fortunately for most, rent collections in the office sector were higher than I think many expected, as many businesses were and are able to continue paying rent, in part because of the many government programs that are in place, which has been very helpful. Of course, there are some properties where tenants are very challenged, which is putting pressure on rent collections. If the economy continues to open as it is starting to do, and we don't have a meaningful recurrence, hopefully we can get back to some level of normalcy. Yeah, I believe the most important things landlords have been doing or should be doing is talking to their tenants to communicate what they are doing to make the building safe to return and how they will continue to keep the work environment safe and to see what the tenants need from the landlords in order to make that happen. Landlords and tenants need to and are working together. And I think that was the most important thing, to get through this together.
How would you describe the office sector nowadays, 2 months after the COVID-19 crisis hit the U.S.? Where are we today?
Well, I would describe the office market as bumpy and uncertain. Those that have patience and working capital will ride out this storm, and many will even have opportunities to expand as some properties and landlords will be challenged and will need rescue capital and workouts. Valuations for some period of time will be uncertain, which will put a lot of pressure on lenders as well as the landlords to refinance properties on loans that are maturing in the near term. There may also be some opportunity for some consolidation in the industry. Again, a lot will depend on how quickly we get back to opening the economy and employees return to the workplace. In some parts of the country, this will happen quickly and robustly. And in the more dense urban settings, it may just take a bit longer.
There are some specialists saying that the office sector as we know it will never be the same. Do you agree?
I absolutely agree. But how it will be different is where many experts diverge. And in this regard, reasonable people can certainly disagree. Just as we saw after 9/11, almost everyone agreed that air travel and office and even residential buildings will never be the same, and everybody was correct. New security measures were put in place that survived to this day, and we barely even think about it anymore. I remember the anxiety I felt the first time I got on a plane about a month after the tragedy, and 6 months later, I was traveling as much as I did before and didn't even stare down everyone who entered the plane. Today, you know, you need an ID and a pass to get into a building, and you need a pass to get through TSA checkpoints to get on a plane. And these safety measures are in place in virtually the entire world. These measures have become very efficient with the aid of technology. And while a bit annoying at times, there is a certain sense of security we feel after getting through the scanner to the other side. Hopefully, in the near term, they'll have temperature scans or other immediate result tests to show that we either have antibodies or we do not have COVID-19, and ultimately that we have been vaccinated. This will be our passport to normalcy. Instead of showing our ID as proof of age at the bar, we'll need to show proof that we are not a COVID-19 carrier. In the meantime, until these technologies and a vaccine are available, we will wear masks, we will wash our hands, we will keep social distancing, we won't ride in crowded elevators. And the good news versus the result of 9/11, in my opinion, is this pandemic will end. People will start to feel comfortable that this is under control. And when that happens, amnesia will set in. Hard to say the time frame for all this to happen. My guess, 9 to 18 months. And it will gradually phase in and has already begun, which is encouraging. We need to monitor the phasing carefully, as a major occurrence would be very devastating. Better to delay a month or two than have to start this process over again. And hope the regulators and the medical experts work together. The good news is we'll be better prepared if something like this happens again.
Well, some companies are already planning to return to their offices, or some have already returned. What should they keep in mind in order to make this process as safe and as smooth as possible for their employees?
I think we touched on some of these points already, but most employers have plans in place to restart their offices by allowing more people to work remotely, either permanently or temporarily, and to alternate work days or work weeks so fewer people are in the office, so employees can safely practice social distancing until the vaccine and testing is available for everyone. Stringent cleaning regimens will also be a daily occurrence, with deep cleanings over the weekends and between staff changes. That's something in the plans I know from my company that we're planning on doing around the world. Again, as governments are allowing and as the employees feel safe to return. You know, some employers will need to add more space, and others will open satellite offices to supplement existing offices. Others will allow or require a portion of their workforce to work remotely. There'll be a lot of adjusting taking place over the next year or two.
In conclusion, how do you think things are most likely to play out?
$1 million question. There will be a number of winners in the short to midterm. Interior design architects to reimagine the future office. Office furniture manufacturers to fill the new office needs. Construction companies for the retrofit. But as to the real office market and your real question, I think there will be some short to midterm pain, and those with working capital and patience will get through this just fine and may even prosper. In 24 months from now, I see this as a zero-sum game.
Well, this was a really interesting conversation. Thank you so much for your insights.
Yes, thank you, Laura. It was my pleasure.
Until our next audio meeting, stay safe and visit cpexecutive.com for the latest news on commercial real estate.